You're listening to Studio 809 Podcasts. This is what community sounds like.
Highlights from our mayor's State of the City address.
Public safety, potholes, the unhoused, traffic, the 2C ballot issue.
All that and more on this episode of Loving the Springs, the podcast where we celebrate the best and elevate the rest.
Welcome to Loving the Springs, the podcast that celebrates the best of Colorado Springs and strives to elevate the rest.
We're coming to you from the Studio 809 Community Podcast Studio at The Next Us, a professional cooperative environment for small businesses in downtown Colorado Springs. Later in the podcast, we're going to be sharing some exciting upcoming events, and we will talk a little bit more about something that's going to be going on right here at The Next Us, so stay tuned. But first, a quick news item. Colorado Springs Utilities, today as we record, we're recording on Tuesday, what is it, September 24th, I think?
It is the 24th.
In City Council today, they'll be taking a first vote on a proposal from Colorado Springs Utilities to increase electric and natural gas rates in response to higher costs for natural gas, and the estimated impact would be an increase of about $8.71 per month on the average residential bill.
Do you want my opinion on that?
Of course I do.
So for years, ever since I ran for city council in 2005, I've been advocating for the people who use the least utilities, actually motivating them to use even less. Unfortunately, every time Colorado Springs Utilities increases the utility rates, they not only increase the commodity rate, they increase the daily access fee.
Every time, huh?
Every time.
I had no idea.
So, the problem with that is the people who use the most get the lowest commodity rate. It's like the people who get to shop at Costco versus a local grocery store. I understand how it works at a local grocery store versus Costco, but I don't think our government should be subsidizing the people who use the most on the backs of the people who use the least.
Well, we should be thanking the people who use the least and encouraging that kind of behavior.
We should be. So yeah. The seniors that live alone and truly live in the dark often, because that's who they grew up being. They're just people who don't consume a lot, end up paying a large amount for using very little. And for those people who are here some of the time and gone some of the time, snowbirds, people like that, if they maintain connection to Colorado Springs Utilities, they're paying a daily access fee. And it would be interesting for everybody to know what that daily access fee is total for each of the four utilities per day or per month. Mm-hmm. For using absolutely nothing. Imagine paying a utility fee for using a gas station. And Costco kind of has that concept where you belong to Costco and you get cheaper gas some, maybe most of the time. It's capitalism. It's understandable. It's just not equitable when it comes to people who use little or the least or none.
Well, let's put that on our growing list of things that we want to talk to Colorado Springs Utilities about. I'm really trying to get somebody to come in and be a guest so that we can talk a little bit about cost sharing for utilities expansion. They are not being very quick to make that happen, but I'm not giving up.
No, it becomes a self-licking ice cream cone. And that is, developers want to expand and continue to build, understandably so. That's what they do. And they get our utilities to accommodate future growth, which then leads us to annexing more and more land. And one of the things we did back in 1988 was annex the Banning Lewis Ranch. And that's the size of Manhattan. Think about, this is not just a little bit of land.
Yeah.
And now we have other annexations on the table to see if we want to continue to annex. It's a strategy, but I just don't think it's a good strategy.
We could do a whole podcast about growth. And in fact, I do that, the Growth Busters podcast. But, you know, and every time somebody wants to be annexed, there's always the threat, usually a little bit more than implied, that if Colorado Springs doesn't annex them, that development's going to happen anyway, but it'll just happen out in the county. The city won't get the sales tax revenue, but we'll get all the traffic and all the other costs of growth. So we're almost kind of feel compelled to, well, we better go ahead and annex them so that we can get something out of this.
Let them live outside of the city. Let them build their own roads. And let them come into the city and shop and pay sales tax.
Find their own water.
Well, we're in the business of selling water now. So we've got more water than we know what to do with.
Well, we're not acting like it these days. You know, we do celebrate the best in this podcast, and Saturday, Al, I found myself driving over Vail Pass, and I saw absolutely the most spectacular fall colors I have ever seen. It was amazing.
Yes, I saw a little bit of I-70 this weekend, and it was phenomenal, especially if you're in a high country, you saw snow also.
Yeah.
And that juxtaposition of snow and the fall colors is amazing.
Yeah. My wife snapped some pictures because I was driving, but they just don't do it justice. I've just never seen it quite so dramatic.
You caught a perfect time.
Yeah. So it's the time. It hasn't quite found its way down into the springs yet, but between here and 10,000 feet, as you go up, you're going to hit it.
I was in Palmer Park yesterday riding my mountain bike, and yes, the colors are changing in Palmer Park. So it's happening.
Oh, okay. So tell me about Bright Spots of Hope.
This is the fourth year that a group of people with MS and their caregivers are coming to Angle Tech, Cycle Different. It's a bike shop in town that sells recumbent bikes, recumbent tricycles, and adaptive bicycles. And they've got a connection with this group from the St. Louis, St. Charles area of Missouri. And they're coming out for 4 days of riding our trails and the high country. Last year, we took them for a ride and got to see the bighorn sheep from the adaptive cycles because we were in Garden of the Gods and up in the Rock Rimmon area, the Mountain Shadows area, where the bighorn sheep stay often at this time of the year. And to see the look on the faces of people from the flatlands of being in a city that has bighorn sheep. I mean, we are really in an amazing place when something like that happens.
True. Yep.
So we've been doing it for 4 years. It's very rewarding to me as a volunteer. And we're not really looking for more volunteers. It's not a very big group. But to see people with limitations of their mobility, be able to do things that they don't think they can do. Getting them on adaptive cycles is a pretty amazing thing. So that's what keeps me coming back. And I'm looking forward to that next week.
Well, thank you for doing that. We have some good citizens doing good things just like that. You're a role model, Al. Appreciate it. The main thing that I would love to talk about a little bit, Al, is the mayor's recent State of the City address. And this really got my attention because back in the 2007, 2008, you know, right around the time that you ran for city council and I was pretty active, very active in local politics because I would go and record things like the State of the City address for use in my Growth Busters documentary that I was working on. To get that address, I had to go to the Broadmoor to a Chamber of Commerce luncheon where the mayor made his State of the City address. And I thought, this is crazy. The mayor should be addressing the people.
Correct.
He should be on the porch at the Pioneers Museum in front of a crowd of ordinary citizens.
Yes.
And I have mentioned that many times to the Chamber of Commerce. I've mentioned that to a few mayors. And never changed until 2024.
All right.
I was so excited to see this that Mayor Yemi Mobilati, he didn't want you to have to go to the Broadmoor. He was going to deliver the address at the Broadmoor as well to the Chamber of Commerce and EDC at a breakfast where if you're a member of the chamber, the cost is $125. If you're not a member, $200 to go to breakfast and hear and see the mayor do the state of the city. Now, that's just unattainable for most of the citizens of Colorado Springs. It's crazy. So God bless our mayor. He said, we can't just do that. So the day before, he delivered the address to city council in their work session, where any citizen could sit in the audience or watch it streaming without paying anything.
Right. And the streaming is important because most people can't show up at a city council meeting because of something called a job.
Yeah. But I still think it ought to be on the steps of the Pioneers Museum, and it ought to be organized even more for the people. So maybe next year, Yemi. Maybe.
Moving in the right direction.
Think about it. Thank you, Yemi, for doing that. And because you did that, if it's okay with you, Al, I wanted to spend a few minutes highlighting some of the things that he had to say.
Yes, let's do that.
That'll give us some great material for numerous episodes of Loving the Springs going forward, that's for sure.
Yes.
I think it's interesting that he proclaimed that the theme of this State of the City address is our road to the future. I think that's interesting because we're going to be talking about roads a little bit. We'll be talking about potholes. We'll be talking about 2C to maintain our roads. And far too often, I'm sure, in your opinion, we're going to be talking about aggressive driving on our roads as well.
And it's not just a problem here in Colorado Springs. It is a national and probably an international problem.
Yep. But I've got some good ideas for a future episode for how we might solve that locally. I know you're not optimistic, but I got to keep trying. So anyway, so interesting theme. And he also mentioned that the three areas that are top of mind for him are good governance, responding to homelessness, and addressing crime. And that's based on what he's hearing from the local residents. Another highlight, I thought this was, I don't know, kind of interesting. You know, we're Olympic City, USA. And if you count all of the athletes who train here as coming from Colorado Springs, if Colorado Springs were a country, we would have finished third in the Paris 2024 Olympic medal count with 66 total medals, and we would have finished ninth in the Paralympic medal count with 57 total medals.
If you're out and about in Colorado Springs, the chances of running into somebody or being passed by somebody that's running or riding their bicycle or maybe some other sport, it's pretty high.
I suppose so.
It's amazing to know that we live amongst these folks who are training so hard for that moment at the Olympics.
So sure. Let's celebrate them, welcome them, and we'll even claim them here.
Yes.
So we came in third. So our mayor noted, hard to believe, Al, but we're now the 39th largest city in America, in the U.S., that is, and home to over 500,000 people and growing. And apparently we're the most desirable city to live in America and the third best place to live, according to the U.S. News and World Report.
That always comes down to what criteria they use to make those determinations. But we are also one of the largest footprint cities in America, the largest being Jacksonville, Florida.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, anyway, let's keep this a secret that we're such a good place to live.
I'm with you, Dave.
Okay. So now let's go through the five strategic priorities, if we can do that with the time we have allotted. Number one was public safety challenges, and I think there are a few noteworthy things. He reported that we're seeing a reduction in most property crimes, robbery, traffic accidents, he says.
Did he use the word accident? Do I have to start beating on him for accident?
Uh-huh.
We need to start calling them what they are, which is crashes. Accident indicates that there's nothing you can do about it and that nobody is at fault. It's an accident.
Ah.
But we know that with very few exceptions, they're not accidents. If you're driving impaired, if you're looking at your phone instead of out the windshield, if you're reaching back to take the knife out of your baby's hand or whatever it is that you must do, and you crash into something, that is not an accident.
Well, good point. And you know, I just finished a road trip, so did a fair amount of driving. So some of this was outside the city, but even inside the city yesterday, I had to cross town to go work on some election forum business for the League of Women Voters. And I'm driving the speed limit, and so I observe vehicles weaving around traffic, working very hard to make sure that they're traveling a good 10 to 20 miles an hour faster than everybody else.
Yes.
You know what I think when I see that, Al? I think, wow, whose daughter is that guy going to kill? And how's he going to feel after he does that?
It's a reality that we have to live with. And speed is an issue, and a lot of people don't see it as an issue. I think even our last guest said, I'm an aggressive driver. Yeah.
But I tell you
proudly.
What.
Proudly.
You kill somebody and you do it so you could get somewhere 3 minutes faster, and it's just not worth it.
But if you do it with a car, your defense attorney will call it an accident. The prosecuting attorney will not use the word accident.
Yeah. Now, the mayor did note that we are seeing an increase in motor vehicle theft, homicides, and traffic fatalities. So there's a traffic thing that is getting worse.
So that's interesting that traffic accidents, as he referred to them, are down, but traffic fatalities are up at a time when cars are safer than ever. They have multiple airbags. They have all sorts of things to prevent you from dying in the car. That's why I don't buy this accidents are down, and I would use the word crashes. I don't buy that they're actually down.
Even though we have a lot more airbags in the vehicles, we have a lot more dirt bags too.
That's an opinion that I will neither confirm nor deny.
Okay. All right. Now, here's big news. By early next year, the mayor reported that he expects that we'll be at full authorized strength of 819 police officers. First time since 2019 that we'll be at full strength. Having hired 130 officers this year alone is the plan. And he says, so we're inching closer to better service and response times.
Well, I seem to remember more traffic stops across the country. And I don't know if you've noticed this in your travels, but it's rare to see traffic stops by the police other than speed traps. And I am reluctant to use that word, but when that's all they're doing is catching people in a specific area, doing something that the 85th percentile, which is another way of saying most of the people, you come into the town of Alma, I think it is, and you're zipping along at 45 miles an hour, and it's a 25-mile-an-hour zone, and you get a ticket for going 20 miles an hour over the speed limit.
And almost guaranteed you'll get a ticket.
It sounds like you're a blatant egregious violator of speed, but it's because they put a sign there and there's no transition zone. So other than that, I don't really see adequate police stops of pretty far out dangerous types of driving.
Yeah. You know, we'll talk about that. I've just begun some research, Al, trying to find out. I'm thinking we're told that the police in Colorado Springs don't do a lot of enforcement of driving violations, speeding and red lights and aggressive driving, because they're too busy doing things that we think are more important for them to be doing.
Right. That's a data-driven determination. We have the data of what they used to do. So let's see what the data is of what they're doing now.
Well, let's look at the data. And what I'm really curious about is, you know, how long does it take a police officer to write a speeding ticket? It's been a while, but I've been stopped once or twice in my life. And you know what? You sit there for a friggin' long time. And that's inefficient. I think we could improve traffic enforcement if we could find a way for those tickets to be issued a lot quicker.
Well, I'm going to reach into my wallet and I'm going to show you something, Dave. On our driver's license, there is a barcode.
Uh-huh.
There is no reason that any police officer should even carry a writing instrument. They should be carrying a barcode reader that takes all your data down in one swipe, and they can have all that. They should be able to print out your violation just as you get a receipt from a restaurant.
Yeah, they should be able to do it in 4 minutes.
Complete stop.
Yeah,
not just writing the ticket.
Yeah.
They have all the data. And if it's a legit car, it has a VIN number. And most of the cars have other types of identifying things in the door jamb. It wouldn't take much to get all the data on the car and all the data on the driver or whatever else they need, even in a crash. And I believe in crashes, the people who do the investigations, when especially when there's a fatality, they tap into the OBD port, onboard diagnostic port.
Oh, really? Wow.
And that port has so much information in it that I don't think most people even begin to comprehend what's available to the police or to a manufacturer or to a dealership as to how you were driving. So there's no need to argue. You download the data in the port, you download the barcode.
Case closed.
Case closed, pretty much. I mean, you did what you did,
yeah.
And the data is there. So
we're going to be talking to the police department, see if we can't get that data. 2025 budget proposal includes the addition of 20 additional officers, so that's good.
That is good.
Yeah. Let's see. Now, here's an interesting one, Al. He mentioned that there are several targeted enforcement efforts set to address issues like expired license plates.
I thought I put that bug in his ear.
You told him about those.
I said, my random analysis of vehicles in the city of Colorado Springs indicates to me that about 10% of vehicles have expired license plates. Tags. And I challenge all of our listeners and you to go out, pick 10 cars randomly, and see if one of those cars has an expired tag. And I'm pretty confident that you will find that most of the time.
So you've been heard.
I love it.
Doesn't that feel good? I think that's great.
It is. And I think it's such a low-hanging fruit to take advantage of, you should have a current tag on your vehicle. This isn't asking people to do something special. This is asking citizens to do what they should do.
Yep, just abide by the law. Let's see, he reported that 9 months into the year, the fire department has responded to 24 wildland fires. That's interesting to note. And here's a really fascinating bit of information. They've responded to 339 fires in homeless encampments since the start of the year.
I even reported one of those. I dialed 911 because of a bus stop. It wasn't actually an encampment. I don't know where they include the bus stops, but this was on Academy. I was going south on Academy, right at Union, and there's a pile of stuff in the enclosure, or it's semi-enclosed, just burning away. And I thought, I should do something about this as a citizen. So I called 911, and they were, I must say, the technician that answered the phone, the 911 call, was extremely efficient and effective and as professional as could be. I was thoroughly impressed with how that call went.
Great. And you weren't on hold for?
Not at all. I was answered, I think, on the second ring, and she was ready to go. Just got the data and got the information.
Glad to hear it.
We were done.
And here's another cool thing. Did you know that our fire chief, Randy Royal, was recently named the International Fire Chief of the Year?
That's awesome. I think they have a lot of experience with many types of fires, so that's great.
Yeah, didn't know. Okay, so number two on the mayor's list of five, roads and improved parks. He reported that we have filled over 73,000 potholes across our city so far this year, which is 8,000 more than we filled at this time last year. So we might be at the 50% mark, Al, I'm thinking.
Well, that's a big number.
It is huge. And yet, you know, you don't have to look hard for a pothole.
No, that's the problem with annexation, is we can't handle what we have.
Yeah.
To think that we're willing to take on more is ludicrous.
No, that's because of the myth of profits from growth. This year alone, we've repaved 162 miles of roads, replaced 152,000 feet of concrete curb and gutter, and installed 600 pedestrian ramps.
And that's fantastic, especially when the group that we talked about earlier, the Bright Spots of Hope, come here.
Uh-huh.
Many of them are in wheelchairs, and you know, if you're not dealing with mobility issues, you really don't think about curb cuts and things like that. But when you have to move people about in a wheelchair, all of a sudden that becomes the biggest elephant in the room.
Yeah.
And that little piece that's stopping that wheelchair from getting where it needs to go, you start to appreciate it. So that's fantastic that we're doing that.
And so that brings us to 2C, which is on the ballot this year to extend. That is a regional sales tax, and all that money goes to maintaining and improving existing roads and concrete
infrastructure. I have to make a comment here. Doug Bruce, who came up with the Citizens Bill of Rights, and the things that he did to our perception of taxes. So if we continue an existing tax, which is what we're voting to do, he made sure that it is called a new tax because the tax came to an end, and this is a new tax. And it's a perception thing. We're not paying more than we were paying. We're going to continue to pay what we were paying.
Yeah.
And why would you think at a time when there is inflation and things are aging and we live in a city that has had problems, that we should be spending less than we were spending to make things better? And the fact that our mayor can present to us that we're doing more than we were is fantastic. We really got to give this city credit for improving things, because for a long time, it was getting worse and worse each year. This is a huge step in the right direction, and we have to appreciate that. So when you vote or don't vote for this item, understand that a no vote, that you don't want this tax, is going to set us back.
Well, I'm not satisfied with where we are on potholes, but I agree with you. We've got to approve 2C. We must have it.
If we want to live in a place where we can drive around safely, yes, we do.
It says we lowered the number of pothole complaints by 34%, so I guess I need to start complaining every day when I hit a couple of potholes.
Yeah, I would like to think that the number of complaints equates to the condition of the road. But if you're just frustrated because you get nowhere with the complaint, you may stop complaining even though the roads haven't changed. Yeah. So.
Now, here's an interesting thing. Our Keep It Clean Colorado Springs program has cleaned up more than 2,900 tons of debris, filling more than 89 dump trucks full of trash, including 1,300 discarded tires and 1,100 shopping carts. So this is not one of the things that we're going to celebrate as being the best. I mean, glad that they're cleaning it up, but it's really a shame that it's there to be cleaned up, darn it.
Yeah, and that goes back beyond the city's responsibility. I mean, think about the cost of groceries to replace 1,100 shopping carts, because chances are they came from this area. They didn't come from another country or another state. That's a lot of shopping carts, considering how many supermarkets we have that have shopping carts.
Yeah, and we know who's stealing those shopping carts from the supermarkets and leaving them about. It's not a mystery. And the mayor talked a little bit about homelessness, so we'll get into that.
Yeah, I mean, that's 1,300 discarded tires, and the homeless are not discarding
nope.
the tires. So
nope.
Let's be fair there, Dave.
They might be lighting them on fire if they can, but they're not discarding them. That's insane, because it does cost you money to get rid of a tire. There's a tire disposal fee.
Yes, which if you're buying a new tire, you must pay, even if you take the tire with you.
Is that right?
Yes.
So you might as well let them have the tire and dispose of it properly. There are mobile homes across the country that need something weighing down the roof to keep it from blowing away in a tornado.
That's one use of those tires.
All right. Safety improvements in Memorial Park. This is pretty stunning. 181 new lights, 19 security gates, and 10 wireless security cameras.
Have you been there lately?
No.
So I paddle on Prospect Lake.
Huh.
And if you haven't been there lately, you used to have a lot of trees, big trees, and the trees are having health issues. So they've been cutting down a lot of trees. And then I just learned this recently. The north end and the south end of Prospect Lake are levees or dams. And because they're dams, the Army Corps of Engineers controls them. And because the Army Corps of Engineers sets the standard, we can't have any plant growth on them other than some grass. So the South End especially used to have a bunch of bushes, and in the bushes were birds and turtles and frogs. There's still a couple of turtles in the lake, but they really have no place to go. They have denuded the North and South Ends because of the Army Corps of Engineers. So I'm not blaming the city, but it has lost its urban wildland feel.
Uh-huh.
But you also have more visibility because there's no place to hide around the lake at all, which from a safety standpoint is probably a good thing. So I get both sides of it, but it doesn't feel like the park that it used to feel like, but it does feel safer.
So that's something, because I know that's been a concern.
It is. So, you know, we got to take the good with the bad and appreciate how much wild land interface we can enjoy here. So
yeah,
it's not quite the same in Memorial Park.
And the people around Memorial Park, there may be a lot of people who, you know, don't even have a car to where, you know, it's challenging for them to get to some of that wild land urban interface. So.
There's still some trees. It's not terrible, but it's not what it was.
Better than nothing. Let's see. Next major category is housing. And interesting, this year from our HUD funds, we allocated about $1.6 million to a total of 1,194 units that are either under construction or ready to lease. And this is to address the problem of housing unaffordability and the many unhoused we have.
And for those of us that don't know what HUD is, the Housing and Urban Development Funds.
Yep. So those are federal dollars. And here's really good news. Amy Cox is our city's new chief housing and homelessness response officer.
Now, is she back in town?
She is, because she got that job.
Or is she working remotely? Because I've visited with her several times in San Diego, which is where she was. And I didn't know she was back. I know her son, who is 6 feet 10 or 11. He's a very tall individual. And fantastic basketball player, I think, is through college. I haven't been following them, but...
Well, I read a story, and there were a few comments from her that made it sound to me like she's moving back, looking forward to moving back.
That's great. She was a major force within our community, both in Manitou and in Colorado Springs. It's good to have her back.
Yeah, I think she will do good. And then the mayor said, accountability to the rule of law, which seems to be a subject that comes up here frequently, Al, is something that we've heard repeatedly from you. So he has directed greater enforcement of illegal camping, trespassing, and littering. And he's adding new homeless outreach team members.
Well, this is interesting wording. He has directed greater enforcement. At least he's hiring more police. And the next State of the City address should be telling as to whether that's working or not.
Yeah, but that is a vexing challenge.
It is, you know? For sure. And at least he's taking it on.
Yeah. And then... Category four, we collaborated with business partners to bring new jobs and opportunities. Last year, Colorado Springs saw our economy grow by 8.5%. Al, 95% of the people in town are going to say, wow, that's great, because they all subscribe to the myth that economic growth is a universally noble and sought after goal. I have to just editorialize briefly and say we cannot grow our local, national, or global economy forever on one planet, and we're killing the planet.
You sound like a third party candidate because the two parties that we have are both pro growth.
No kidding.
And pro economy growth, which is appealing even if it's scary. It is something that you want people to have jobs, you want people to have nice quality houses and vehicles, and it takes money. And to do that, the economy has to be humming.
Well, that's the myth. And I mean, there's some truth to it. I mean, if you're growing your population, and Colorado Springs seems to be pretty intent on that too, I'm just going to say that's really not a good metric for progress or success. It's not going to lead to really good lives for our kids, that we shouldn't be chasing more population and more material throughput in our economy. We should be trying to make sure everybody's needs are met and that we have high quality of life. I'd like to see the metrics change. I'd like to see the language change so that metropolitan economic growth isn't a measure of success. But that's just me.
Okay. Well, $4 billion in a community like this is significant, and that's why it says our economy has grown by 30%.
In 5 years, yeah. We approved a record 12 economic development agreements, resulting in an estimated 1,700 jobs retained, 3,000 new jobs, $1.6 billion in private investment, and $125 million in projected new city revenue. Al, that's all planet-killing activity. I know it sounds like jobs for our kids, and to some degree it is, but just can't do it forever.
We're too damn old to worry about it, Dave.
Here's an interesting thing, a partnership between the city and Exponential Impact called Survive and Thrive. They're helping small businesses access capital. The mayor helped create this program with Vance Brown in 2020, and just this year alone, they awarded nearly $1.2 million in low-interest, high-impact loans to 54 small businesses, along with mentorship and learning opportunities. I'm not going to argue against that. That sounds like a good thing.
It sounds like a great thing, and I would like to get all 54 new businesses in here to hear what they have to say. That's it right there. They got the loans. They're making some type of business. 54 businesses.
Yeah.
For $1.2 million. That's small businesses. I'd love to hear from even 10% of those people.
We love local. We love small. So
we should find them.
Okay. We'll put that on our to-do list, and we will invite you, if you're one of them, to reach out to us. You can email lovingthespringspodcast@gmail.com and let us know you'd like to come into the studio and tell us all about what you're up to. He kind of brags a little bit about new entertainment options, Lulu's Downtown, Louie Louie's Piano Bar, the Jonas Brothers, and Jason Aldean playing at Widener Field. I haven't been to any event at Widener Field yet, but that's got to be pretty cool to go see a concert at Widener Field. And pretty cool to see a concert at the Ford Amphitheater, too.
Yes.
Which apparently you can hear from miles around.
That's what an amphitheater does.
But the mayor said, you heard it here first or second here. You know who we still need, though?
Taylor Swift. Any Swifties in the house? I wonder if he feels good about saying that now.
So he has a good sense of humor. And last item five, the category is, we activated residents to take ownership of their own flourishing. So he thanks his wife for activating her platform as First Lady to launch Pikes Peak Rising, which is a regional and collaborative effort that takes mental health head on, and it's already making a difference. We ought to invite Abby to come in and fill us in on that sometime.
Exactly.
Yeah. And also a nod to Susan Whelan, the director of El Paso County Public Health, thanking her and her team for launching the state's first public web portal for mental health resources. So if you or someone you know needs help, Pikes Peak Rising 360 is a great place to start, apparently.
That's fantastic. I think we should try to have Susan Whelan here, too.
Sounds like it.
I think we have a list of names to join us.
Now, Al, as a special treat in wrapping up our discussion of the State of the City address, and thanks again, Mayor Yemi, for making this available for less than $125.
Absolutely.
And I'll see you on the steps of the Pioneers Museum next year.
Yes.
Anyway, a little treat. I think he said some pretty interesting things about kind of big picture, feel good things as he wrapped up the address. And I just want to share clips of that if you would like to hear them, Al.
I would like to hear them. Go for it.
All right, here we go. A little bit about the American dream.
This is the American dream. The idea that anyone, regardless of their background, culture, or circumstances, with the right opportunity can flourish. The American dream embodies the aspiration for a better life and the pursuit of happiness and the belief that with hard work, anyone can achieve their goals.
I really liked that, Al, because he didn't define the American dream as a nicer car next year, a bigger house, more toys, you know, more material wealth. He talked about flourishing, a better life. And that's the way we really ought to define the American dream. I kind of feel like we've gotten off track in a lot of ways with the American dream, where we think we should all have more money and more toys and bigger things.
Bigger house, yes.
Planet-killing stuff.
But if we go out to the newer sections of this city as it expands, you really got to wonder about how we're planning to sustain the building that we're enabling.
Last thing I want to share, the mayor's close, because I think this was a pretty aspirational statement. I really liked it. See what you think, Al.
Yes.
friends, it's not just what we do, but it's also how we do it. The story of Colorado Springs will be a better story. We will show the world what democracy looks like. We will be firm in our conviction while treating others, each other, with respect. We will put our city over party, people above politics, country over ideology. We will welcome the competition of ideas, disagreements, and differences of opinion. We will not make it personal. We will attack the problem, not the person. And in the words of President Lincoln at his second inaugural address, as he previewed his plans for healing a once divided nation, he said, "With malice towards none and with charity for all, let us strive to finish the work we're in." Friends, with malice towards none and with charity for all, I ask that you join me in building a safe, economically prosperous, culturally rich, welcoming, and a vibrant world-class American city on a hill that we call Colorado Springs. Friends, I truly believe that greater things are yet to come and greater things are still to be done in this city. And please vote yes for 2C. We are Colorado Springs. God bless you. Thank you for being here today.
That's fantastic. I totally agree with him, and I hope that people embrace it.
Yeah, bravo. Wrapping up, I do want to mention that we're still looking for a third co-host. If you are interested in applying for the job, send an email to lovingthespringspodcast@gmail.com.
All right. I think that's great, Dave.
Upcoming topics, we hope to talk about ballot issues, and we hope to maybe talk to a few candidates. I do want to let people know in terms of upcoming events that another Studio 809 podcast partner, the League of Women Voters of the Pikes Peak Region, they host the Making Democracy Work podcast, and they're going to be hosting candidate forums from September 30th to October 22nd, a great chance to meet and learn more about all the candidates for local and state offices. You can attend in person, or you can watch the live stream, or you can watch the video later, or you can listen on the Making Democracy Work podcast later, if you like. So head over to lwvppr.org for a list and links to the information about the forums. I'll put a link in the show notes to the YouTube playlist. And they are also interviewing as many of the candidates as they can. So those will be episodes of Making Democracy Work. And all of those episodes are going to drop on October 1st, same day. And then Elevating Pikes Peak Women, another Studio 809 podcast, they're interviewing some of the local candidates and groups. So there's a lot of good Studio 809 election info coming your way.
Outstanding.
And then finally, Al, I want to invite you on October 4th. I want to invite you to come back down here to the Next Us, 525 North Cascade, from 4:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. as part of the First Friday Art Walk. The League of Women Voters of the Pikes Peak Region is hosting a Rock the Vote event. It's going to be outside in front of the building and in the parking lot. There's going to be a food truck, and we're going to be recording some podcasts out there, food and beverages, and a chance to meet the candidates and chat with them.
Nice.
So come on down. That's October 4th, 4:30 to 9 p.m. at 525 North Cascade.
Sounds good. Thanks for listening to Loving the Springs. Follow this podcast to keep up on
what's going on,
what's going well,
and what's going wrong.
Share it with your friends, too.
And don't forget to visit Studio809Podcast.com to check out all of our fine community podcasts, where you can find your new local favorite.
We'll catch you next time.
In the Pikes Peak region, there's no shortage of activities. Whether you're experiencing breathtaking parks or magnificent works of art, if you're getting fashionable at a film festival, or fresh at a farmer's market, if you want to hear the sweet sounds of a symphony or the smooth shred of a Stratocaster, look no further than Peak Radar, your one-stop shop for all events in the Pikes Peak region, your free source for viewing and posting events. So no matter how you engage with our beautiful region, visit peakradar.com and get plugged into the peak.